Golf WRX is proud to present an interview with Dean Snell, TaylorMade Golf's Senior Director of Research and Development of Golf Balls. Today with Dean Snell from TaylorMade Golf. Dean, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for being on. We appreciate your time. Before we get started, can you give us a little bit of background about your history in the golf industry and with TaylorMade and MaxFly?
Sure, I'm gonna probably show my age here, but I've been actually working in golf ball R&D for about 18 years now. I think I'm going on my 19th year now, and been very fortunate to work with I worked with Titleist for quite a while, and now with TaylorMade now, and been fortunate to spend most of the time that I've been in research and development designing top of the line golf balls with tour players. At Titleist, obviously, I had a chance to work with Tiger, Phil, Davis, Ernie, and now with TaylorMade with Sergio, Justin, Retief, and some of the other superstars. So I think the transition of starting, fresh in golf and being able to start to work to develop products for the best players in the world, is time consuming, but it's been very beneficial. I've been very blessed to be able to do to work with these best players in the world.
Definitely. I know you've done quite a few impressive things, like designing the Pro V1 and other such things, so we're really excited to hear about stuff like that.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Could you tell us a little bit about how things have changed at TaylorMade since the inception of the Black Max and last year with the 2007 TP and now going towards the 2008 TP line?
I think probably the biggest changes that we've had is, obviously you guys know we purchased MaxFly, a few years back, and the purpose of actually buying them was really to be able to get the cast urethane technology that MaxFly had, which they used to use on the old Revolution and A10 golf balls. And being able to get that technology allows us to start to develop golf balls that can be used on tour. If you take a look at the cast urethane technology that's out there today, it's really with Callaway, with Titleist, and with TaylorMade. Those three companies have that ability to make very thin, tough, durable, soft-covered urethane golf balls, which change the performance of the ball, basically from the driver through the wedge. And when we took over MaxFly, we started with the Black Max ball using this urethane technology, but we were extremely restrictive with respect to aerodynamics. So we actually went out and purchased a company that made all the dimple cavities and dimple designs for pretty much everybody outside of Top Flight and Titleist. We bought that company ourselves. We hired aerodynamics people into R&D, and we were able to now create dimple patterns and aerodynamics that fit the golf ball after the ball is designed. With Black Max and with MaxFly, we were forced to use a pattern that they had. It would take us probably about 4 or 5 months to get one new iteration for aerodynamics. And now that we own this company and we have all the R&D brought in-house ourselves, we can turn dimple iterations around in less than a week. So that's a big advantage for us. Black Max was our first introduction, really, with the performance that was used by a few tour players, not many. TP Red was our first design of using urethane in a tour type of golf ball with aerodynamics specifically designed for that ball. And now today's product line at the TP level for me is, in 19 years of designing golf balls, I think it's probably, a couple of the best balls from an overall performance, that I've seen in golf.
That's really interesting. Now, a couple of people had some questions about exactly what the status was of the MaxFly brand today, because it seems to have taken a little bit of a backseat. Can you give us a little more info about that?
Well, our focus, obviously to purchase MaxFly, our focus was to remembering for TaylorMade to be in the golf ball business, our goal obviously has been to say we want TaylorMade to be able to supply the top performance golf balls for the top players in the world. And until we are able to get to that point, we weren't going to put TaylorMade on the name of the ball. So the validation that we had with the TP Red, TP Black, you know, going from very little tour usage and very little support out there to, you know, a huge shift for us last year, allows us to be very competitive and be in the golf ball business. Now, we were limited ourselves to just having two golf balls at $40 at the top of the line using the TaylorMade name, so we've expanded that out this year to be able to pull off of our name and pull performance into other price points and categories under TaylorMade. You know, MaxFly is still part of the product line. We still have the Noodle golf balls that we have, and we still have, you know, PowerMax, RedMax golf balls. But in the price point that we're dealing with today, to become for TaylorMade's golf balls to be the best products in each category, it wasn't going to happen for us putting TaylorMade on there until we were ready with that product. And today we're ready.
I think that's very understandable. Now, how has the golf ball market changed in the past 10 years?
It's changed a lot. If you know, and again, being back from some of the past that I've been able to work in, I was there for the transition from Tour Velada to professional, and that was a big shift. It was extremely difficult back then to get players to switch with respect to feel for tour balls. And if you think about how soft the Tour Velada golf balls used to be, just trying to get players to go to a compression or a hardness of the professional at that time was like pulling teeth, you know, very difficult to do. So if you look at tour balls back then, even though they said 90 and 100 on the Tour Velada, they were probably closer to 65 or 70 compression. Tour balls were always in the soft range. Today, most of the tour balls out there range from, you know, 80 to 100, 110 compression range. So the tour balls have gotten much firmer. Players have accepted the level of firmness to be part of their product because we've been able to design optimum spin and optimum ranges from the driver through the wedge. Thinking back, when you look at Tour Velada, golfers used to take drivers, 8.5, 9-degree drivers, and they would turn the loft down to about 6 or 7 degrees just to try to keep the launch down on the golf ball. That's not that way anymore. We don't make 6 and 7-degree drivers anymore. We, with the multi-layer technology and the new designs that we brought out in the last few years, the spin rate of a tour ball is no different than the spin rate of a two-piece distance ball. So players used to be afraid of tour balls because a lot of backspin meant a lot of side spin when they would miss. That's big hooks and slices. Today, there is no difference. If you take a Noodle or a Burner or a TP, Black TP, Red, Burner TP, and you go on a launch monitor and you hit those, I would challenge somebody to try to find a difference in spin. Now, high launch, low spin, that's where your maximum distance comes in. So that's what we've worked hard to do on the driver side. Now, the biggest difference in golf balls today is on the short game side. If you're really looking to find where balls are different, that should happen from about 100 yards and in, and you'll notice differences. So for players that go out there to choose a ball with a launch monitor, with a driver, just hitting driver shots, it's not the way to do it anymore. And you're fooling yourself to try to pick a ball that's going to be right for you by using a driver. You want to do that. Maybe we can get into that a little later on how to fit and work with the golf ball. But there's the big difference on balls today is tour balls and two-piece distance golf balls have the same spin with the driver and the same launch. They go pretty much the same distance. And if you take a look at the short game and the short irons, that's where the big difference in balls are today.
That's really interesting because you hear so much talk about people rolling back the ball and wanting to do that, and it's interesting that you think that it's short game that's making quite a big difference too. So
it is. And rolling back the ball is an interesting comment because the USGA has not changed the velocity. We have a maximum initial velocity that we try to meet, and we have a maximum distance. And the balls today that are used on tour have the same launch conditions as the two-piece golf balls that were used 15 years years ago when nobody complained about distance. So we haven't exceeded the rules. The golf balls don't go faster. They're not illegal by speed. We've found a way to make a tour ball fly with launch conditions like the two-piece balls that have been there forever.
Really interesting. Now, it's been about a year and a half since the launch of the original TP line. How would you rate its performance in the marketplace?
I think for us last year, if you take a look at, we launched it at the Masters a year and a half ago in April, and we had zero tour players at the time. And I believe last year on tour, the ball was used, you know, played on tour, worldwide tours by over, over a couple hundred players have used it in tournaments. And we have pretty consistent players play, over 120, 130 players use it throughout the whole year. Very positive results for us. And again, for TaylorMade, it was a validation year to say that this product is good. And when we worked last year with five target players, with O'Hare and Goosen and Fred Funk and Natalie and Darren Clark, those are our five players to go work, and all five came on board. When we went over to Europe, we were only able to give a dozen balls of each to our staff players, and we had 32 out of 34 players say yes. The Club Pro Championship, I think, is an interesting thing because these aren't PGA Tour players. There were 89 TaylorMade golf balls in the Club Pro Championship, where the year before there were two. And there are actually more TP Reds than there were Pro V1s. So for me, last year, it was a defining year of validity. It was a year for us to say, is this product going to be accepted by the better players, and is it competitive, against the top products in the world? And that, to me, was proven by some of that information and some of those statistics. So we didn't do a lot of advertisement. There wasn't a lot of information put out there specifically for that reason. Let's get it on tour. Let's get it in the hands of good players, and let's try to see if people, believe and trust that this golf ball has the performance that, that we in R&D say it does. And that's been proven. So I think this year you're going to see a big change in TaylorMade with some of the commercials, some of the advertisement, with some of the successes and some of the players that we've signed. Getting a lot of the top players in the world has been very good for us. So I'm excited about this year coming for us as far as market share goes. Initial sales for us of the new product launching in right now have been outstanding, to a point where we're almost being put in a back order situation, which is very, it's a bad position to be in from a manufacturing side, but it's a good position to be in to show that people are actually believing and trying, and once they're trying the balls, they're coming back and buying them again.
Definitely. I know we're all going to be staying tuned to hear more about it and see what you guys have in store. Can you give us a little bit of info about how the design process for golf balls goes?
Yeah, it's R&D is an interesting place to work. When you come in, you talk to the people who work designs every day, and if you think about a staff of quite a few people and spending millions and millions of dollars to try to come up with a couple of products, it almost feels like 95% of your job is failure, and that 5% is a success. So some people joke about, I'd love to go to work and fail 95% of the time, but it's I think what it turns out to be for us is it's a process that takes 3 or 4 years to be able to develop something at the top level. It was a 3.5 year deal with the TP Red and TP Black. The new TP Red, TP Blacks were about 2.5 to 3 years in development, and we use a rolling 3 year R&D plan. So we're working on stuff today that's for 2011. And it's a patent minefield in golf balls. There's a lot of intellectual property out there. We started with zero patents, back 10 years ago to a little over 350 today. So we've been working in our R&D to try to find niche pockets and step outside the box to create something that's a little bit different, have that intellectual property, and you really go through a process where you target something. We use a lot of tour players for feedback, but you target something as a performance criteria based on feedback from the public and from the tour, and then you start to address it to try to solve it. And, you know, the ball is 1.680 inches with no moving parts, so you can't get over creative with a lot of things inside. So it's a lot of chemistry, it's a lot of sizes, it's a lot of material properties, matching up chemistry and properties and thicknesses and modulus, different chemical analysis that we do to try to get specific feel and sound and spin rates with wedges and launch and, you know, trajectories. And then when you finish the golf ball design, the last thing you do is aerodynamics. You fit the spinning construction of the golf ball with a dimple pattern that makes that ball the best. And if you don't do that, you can have a big effect on performance by having a great design with dimple patterns that make your ball one of the worst in the market.
Definitely. I know that term patent minefield might be the best description of it, because the lawsuits have been flying recently, and that's a really interesting way to put it.
Yeah, it's a tough place. Some of those lawsuits are very interesting right now.
Now, since golf balls must perform differently with different clubs, how do you ensure one design element, such as low spin off the driver, won't end up affecting another, such as maintaining high spin off a wedge?
It's really where multi-layer golf balls have come into play. If you look at a driver through a wedge and you talk about performance, with two-piece golf balls, the driver spins were usually pretty low, which is what you want, but your wedge spin is also pretty low, which is what the better players or the tour players don't want. Long golf balls were the opposite. The driver was very high, which they don't want, but the short game wedges were very high, which they do want. So the multi-layer technology allows us to design golf balls with a very low driver spin, and then based on the construction and the thicknesses and the hardnesses and the layers, we can control the short game spin to whatever we want it to be. And that's the process that we go through today for an R&D project to try to make something that's lower spin, higher spin, really high spin. That's the biggest area where we can make changes to the ball and have a big impact on the design. So from a feedback point of view, we do use the tour quite a bit. We have a home pro staff and an advisory board here at TaylorMade that we use for prototyping. And then we also have a test group that's out every day working with average golfers and women and seniors and recreational players. And we develop a database of performance characteristics. Now we can go back and try to help or design something that would fit that player. And I think that's what you're going to see in the future. You're going to see fitting for golf balls step up quite a bit versus today walking into this great wall of balls and everybody's confused and doesn't know what to use.
Definitely, that's really interesting. I know I'd like to ask you a couple more questions about that a little bit later on. I'm going to skip around here and ask you, how did tour players influence the design process for you?
Again, from a past side to it, I've been very fortunate and blessed to work with pretty much all of the top players in the world at one time or another, and they're all different. And I think if you look back and you see how we used to work with tour players and design balls back in the 1990s compared to today in the 2000s, it's 100% opposite. I mean, it's 180 degrees the other way. And I'll give you an example. I worked with Sergio Garcia quite a bit on the TP Red and flew over to Spain to see him with six prototype golf balls to work based on working with him prior and getting his launch condition. So I made prototypes and went over to see him, and I spent 3 days. And for the first day and a half, we didn't leave 30 yards from the green. He hit chips, putts, out of the rough, downhill, side hill, went out to various greens on his home course, and all of his testing was done from 30 yards and in. then the next time that I went to see him, it was out in New York, at Westchester, and we went on a golf course for an hour and a half, and he had a wedge. And we went from 100 yards and 80 and 70 and around the green and sand shots. And when he found something that he was liking with respect to that short game performance, threw it back to me and said, now I expect this to go as far as what I have today. You know, so the distance part of the ball design wasn't even in our conversation until the third time that we met. That's a big swing from what's happened before. So I think the players today are really looking at where golf balls are different, and that's on the short game, and then going back and expecting the distance to be there, fitting themselves with the drivers to match the ball that they think is the best for them from the short game and in.
That's really interesting. Now, I know one thing we've heard a lot about from TaylorMade is their new MATLAB, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how that's affected the way you design golf balls.
It's a huge success for us. You know, we have, I think, five or six of them around the world right now. And every time somebody hits a shot, we can gather the data from them. And we're pulling that data in every day to understand. So we'll monitor the gender, the age, the handicap, the ball speed, the swing speed, even the impacts on the faces of the club, where they hit them. And to give you an example of how we use that, this was the basis for our new technology, the LDP, a low drag performance technology that we put in all four of the new golf balls we're launching this year. And we actually pulled the data consistently. We started to hear a lot of information and a lot of feedback from players. And remember when we talked earlier, I talked about we're lowering that driver spin like a piece of ball. So we're bringing that spin rate down very low. And the drivers today have gotten bigger and bigger, again with emphasis to try to high launch low spin. So when the balls and drivers together are dropping the spin rate, we're trying to fit players into what's an optimum spin rate range of about 2,500 RPMs. That's kind of where they get the best carry and roll, you know, with a launch of about 12 to 13 degree launch angle. So when players get fit, we try to get them in a range of about 2,500. And remember, that's an average. Mm-hmm. So what we started to look at with our MAT system is we got about 82,000 impacts of all players from 0 to 35, 40 handicap. And we broke it down into four segments, 0 to 5, 6 to 15, 16 to 25, and 26 and above. And what was interesting about that is if you map the face of a driver, the average golfer mishits the center of his driver over 60% of the time. And that's a lot. So what happens when you miss that driver in the very, very center, and I'm talking about a one-inch diameter, which would be the true sweet spot of the driver. When you miss that center of the driver, because we're having people tee the ball high, most of the shots are hit above the center line of the driver. So when you miss above the center line of the driver, that drops your driver spin even more. So we started to get a lot of players that would say, sometimes the ball goes out, looks like it kind of knuckles, falls out of the sky. Weird flights with some of my drivers. Some tour player feedback said the same thing. So we studied that with all golf balls, competitors, our own, and we started to see that when you got down into the 1600, 1700 spin rate with a driver, the balls would fall out of the sky, sometimes 15, 20 yards short. And what happens is when the ball is in the air, there's a lift and drag on the golf ball, or if the spin is high enough, there's not enough lift, and the drag was just knocking the ball down. So we went out and developed a new way to try to reduce that drag, and by reducing the drag, now when that spin rate drops lower, the golf ball, the drag on the ball is a lot less, and the ball will continue to carry out. And we've done some testing here with that and been able to make up a lot of that distance loss that happens at those low spin conditions. So some tour players would come in and be fit for drivers at 2,000 RPMs or 2,200, their misses drop them down into the 15, 1,600, and a lot of average players would be 25 to 27 average. Their misses drop them down into the 15 to 2,000 range. So the LDP, low drag performance, allows the golf ball now, when you miss hit it or your spin rate is low, it allows it to continue to carry out without kind of knuckling and falling out of the sky. That technology is something that we've put on our new burner TP, LDP, TP Red and TP Black balls right across the whole line. So it's something that we put in to benefit all players.
That's really interesting. I know we can't wait to hear more about the new product. Now, I know you gave us a lot of great detail about how you work with Sergio. Are there other tour players who come to you and say, hey, I need 50 more yards off the driver, can you help me get it?
Yeah, Fred Funk and Paul McGinley. They're two of, you know, obviously two of the not longest hitters on tour. It's a little bit of a challenge from a distance point of view. We don't hear a lot of players, you know, truly if you wanted to make a ball specifically for Fred Funk, just his launch conditions, he could be helped. Same thing with McGinley. The problem is that when you make golf balls and they're listed on the USGA list, they have to fit a range of players. And being in the business to make one ball for one player, one ball for another player, one ball for another player, isn't lucrative, and you won't make any money, you know, trying to tool that up and sell that. So you have to kind of fit into ranges. And I mean, I just spent last week with Justin Rose. His season starts this week at Riviera. And, you know, these guys are very technical today. We use a TrackMan system, which I'm sure most of you guys understand. What use that little radar system that can track the golf ball in flight and give you feedback on ball speed, launch angle, spin rates. And Darren Clark, for instance, has actually bought one for his house. So he's using that to find out what his spin, launch, peak trajectory, distances are for all his clubs. And we use that. We travel with it to go see these players. And with Justin, we went right through his whole set. We started off with the wedge, and we worked all the way back to the driver. And then the next day we spent on course going head-to-head against the ball we used last year. So these players are understanding the technology. They're understanding what is important with respect to launch and spin. And obviously distance is always part of their game. Same thing with Retief. We did that with Retief in Florida. He's a little more quiet than the other guys. He doesn't say as much. But the feedback that you get back from them allows us to hear what they say today for us to start to work on product tomorrow. And remember, there's 14 clubs in a bag. There's 150 tour players using the ball, and every one of those tour players has different launch conditions. Somebody's going to say something about something sooner or later. Can you make it do this? Can you make it do that? And we'll use that feedback to turn into the products to separate them out a little more or to introduce something different that may address an issue that's common that we hear with a lot of players.
That's really fascinating. Now, what improvements were made in the 2008 TP balls over the 2007 ones?
The LDP technology, the low drag performance, is new in both golf clubs. It's a new 360 dimple pattern that, again, helps players on miss hits. It helps the ball carry stay in the air longer on lower spinning driver shots, which is an advantage for a lot of people. But I think if you look back at the TP Red, TP Black, again, we spoke about patent minefields, but because of patents, those golf balls became very close to each other with respect to feel and spin and performance. This year, we've really separated them out. We separated Red and Black out considerably. And on tour last year, out of all our players, it was about a 50-50 split between Red and Black. And I think if you listen to what a lot of them said, is the biggest challenge that the higher spinning players have are to get to back pins with guys, 9-irons, pitching wedges, and sand wedges, full short iron shots. So we worked pretty hard to create the TP Red as a new four-piece ball, and the inside mantle layer is very, very soft. So the feel of the Red is a much softer feel today than what it used to be. And then we've also been able to lower the full iron spin by putting this soft mantle layer inside the golf ball. So the new Red is now a lower spinning full iron shot. So if players actually spin and the ball sucks back or pulls back too much, you know, you definitely want to give Red a try. And the black has been held to the spin rate of like a Pro V1, Pro V1X. So if a player is looking for a little extra spin on those full irons, it's TP Black. For players that have trouble controlling spin because it's too much, it's definitely try the new TP Red. Big difference between the two this year, feel and short game spin. When you get closer to the green, where the cover and the mantle layer work together, that's where they get similar. Red's going to be a little softer, you know, and have a nice little check on it, and black is going to be similar to what Pro V1X is.
So that's a little bit of a departure from last year, where they were more similar off the driver and reacted a little differently around the greens, right?
Yeah, and the difference around the greens last year was subtle. The performance around the green this year, probably the biggest converters that have gone to red is they like the way the ball feels. They like the way the ball seems like it stays on the face where they have a little more control. And it also comes off the face at a little bit lower flight with irons. Mm-hmm. So because it's softer, it stays on the face a little bit more, it can come off a little lower. So those players feel like they're keeping the ball down a little bit, less affected by the wind, and the spin is not high, so if they're controlling the shot a little bit better, less affected by wind. I think that's probably been some of the best feedback we've gotten from tour players is the consistency of the golf ball with irons has been very, very good. Into the wind, crosswind, downwind, the tour players have been very happy with hitting the ball to the same distances, you know, every time they play, which is good because we worked on that to control spin with irons, which helps control distance.
Going along that same line, seams in golf balls and aerodynamics seem to be a real area of controversy. Is there any performance loss from the visible seam in the TP line?
That's a great question. I think for people to understand, when you submit a golf ball to the USGA, and I think everybody remembers back when Pro V1 first came out, this is where the big seam issue came in, where if you teed it up on the seam, it would go a little further, and it did. You know, and I think if you look today, you know, that issue had been raised to the USGA, had been corrected, you know, by Titleist, and it's not that way anymore because it can't do that. The USGA has a symmetry test, and they'll tee the ball up seam, down seam, down range, and then cross seam. And the golf ball has to fly, and it goes about 280 yards. The golf ball has to fly in that test and land within 0.4 seconds of each other and within 4 yards of each other. So if something is going to have an advantage on a 280-yard shot that has to land less than half a second, it's tough to say something is going to be better than that. You know, so in order for it to be on the list, it already has to meet that criteria for symmetry. So having something that has a seam or doesn't have a seam to make it be better than 0.4 seconds on a 280-yard drive, it's tough to say that it really has a big advantage to it. You know, from a pure consistency point of view, you know, I'm not sure today that I would be able to say something. And remember, every golf ball has a seam. There's two halves that come together, and there's a seam on every ball, and that seam has to be removed. So no matter if you interlock it or you stagger it, there's still a seam on the ball. Now the question becomes, is it more consistent if I have seamless because there's no seam? I would challenge somebody to prove that to me at this point.
Very interesting. Now moving on to the TP Red, why did you move to a four-piece construction with this new model versus the three-piece from last year?
One of the biggest things that we did is, you know, we've come up with a material. Over the core layer, there's actually two mantle layers on TP Red. So we have our core that's inside, and then we have a material that's probably the softest material that's used in golf that forms this inside mantle layer. And what that does is two things. It makes the sound of the ball be much softer, which is a big part of feel, and it also works with the core to make the core effectively be lower compression. And when you have lower compression cores, that brings your spin rate down. So our goal in that ball was to try to work to take full 7, 8, 9 pitch and wedge spin out of the ball to allow players to hit full shots without having to adjust so the ball doesn't hit and suck back. And that's what that inside layer does. So our challenge on that was to try to make the ball feel softer and reduce that full iron spin, and that inside layer accomplished both of that. Now, a lot of players still want more spin or need spin. A lot of players, you know, today don't have enough spin in the golf ball. The black maintains that. So if you're a lower spinning guy that needs more spin, that's DP black. If you're a high spinning player that spins too much, you know, that would then I would suggest trying the DP red. And this kind of goes against what players believe in golf. People think in golf that a softer covered ball or a softer sounding ball spins more. And it's not true anymore. It's a different animal with multi-layer, and we're able to do things differently. So we're trying to give people with TP Red a feel that they used to have back when they used to be in the professional range, but not a spin that's out of control. And that's what the design of that couple allows us to do.
That's really interesting. It sounds like pretty much the ideal thing everybody wants.
Yeah, it's been well received. You know, and again, when I was speaking with Justin, he didn't believe it at first. He said, well, you know, if it's going to be softer, it's going to spin more, it's going to be shorter. And, you know, we explained the technology to him. We put him on the track, man. We showed him the numbers, and then we went out on course head-to-head. And when he walked away from the thing, it was like, you guys have been working pretty hard. This is outstanding. You know, to a point where he was kind of wondering at first to when, you know, and he's the number six player in the world right now and one of the top golfers that we have, and spending time with him to hear that from him is a validation for us, you know, that the design of the product was met and approved by, you know, one of the best players in the world.
Definitely, that's really neat information. Can you tell us the compression numbers about the TP Red and the TP Black?
Yeah, I can. And I want to give one comment to some people because I think this is an interesting discussion. For me, compression is probably the most overrated conversation in golf.
Mm-hmm.
I've done presentations in front of PGA professionals in a lot of technical presentations with media, and I think one of the interesting parts is I've offered, you know, a dozen balls or a case of balls to someone who could tell me what compression is, and I've yet to have somebody that doesn't work in iron, you know, even tell me what the units are. You know, it's an old measurement that was used a long time ago that really true 90 and 100 compression balls used to be two-piece golf balls, but you don't see compression rating on any golf balls anymore. And the reason for it is that probably 70% of the golf balls sold today on the market are 80 or less. And back then, if you were to put 80 on a ball, it would have been considered a woman's ball. So the compression number kind of disappeared in golf from packaging because nobody wanted to write 80 and then not be able to sell golf balls. It's truly a designer's tool. We use it in R&D to control sound, to control spin rates, to help obviously with the COR, the velocity of the ball. And really, I'll give you an example. Everybody remembers the old Tour Bellotta golf ball, and everybody remembers the old DP, okay, the old wound DP, which is a hard Sirloin ball. And both of those golf balls had a 75 compression. And if you had any player hit them of any caliber, the feel of those golf balls are completely different. So feel is not compression of a ball. It's part of it, but it's not compression. Those two balls have the same number, but feel completely different. And I think today, when you look at it, the Tour Bellotta used to be in the 60s and 70s. The professional come out probably closer to 90. You know, the HX Tour golf balls, B330 today, are closer to 100, maybe a little over 100. So the compression of balls today fall between 80 and 100. The new TP Red is in the low 80s, probably about 82, 83. Gary, and the TP Black is in the mid 90s, 96 and 97. Falls similar to Pro-V1 is also in the 84, 85 range, where Pro-V1X is closer to the mid-90s as well. So the balls are separating themselves out more today than they used to be, but compression is not all feel. The construction, the layers, the material, the sound, that's a bigger part of feel than compression. So, you know, for players that have chosen balls, it used to be, hey, if it's warm out, I got to use 100, and if it's cold, I got to use 90s. You know, that old story is long gone and not really true anymore.
Interesting. Now, the Tour Fire had quite a few fans on the board. Is the TP Burner really similar to it, or and how has it changed?
Yeah, you're right. The Tour Fire was actually an introduction to create a three-piece ball that was very soft, something that would be used on tour. We did a lot of work with John Daly on this at the time. The Burner TP that we're launching right now is a similar design construction to Tour Fire. We've upgraded the core inside, so it helped increase the velocity of the ball, but also we've added the two LDP low drag performance into the design of the ball too. So there's been two technologies put into it to upgrade the ball. But for players that like the Tour Fire ball from a feel and distance point of view, and then the full spin of the irons being a little bit higher, the Burner TP would be, you know, definitely a ball for them to try. That would be very close to that kind of performance.
Very interesting. Now, one of the prominent things on the packaging of the Burner balls is the ability to achieve greater distance even on off-center hits. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're able to do this?
Yeah, that's the technology we were talking about a minute ago with LDP, or low drag performance. When you miss the center of your driver face, most of the shots, it's over 60% of them are high on the face. So people tee the ball up a little bit higher today, and the spaces on the drivers are pretty big. So the majority of the shots through our mat system, it was those 82,000 shots that we studied, you know, over 60% from tour players right through high handicaps miss high on the face. When you miss high on the face, your spin rate drops, sometimes pretty significant. And when you drop in that spin down to a zone, the golf ball doesn't have enough lift to stay in the air, and the drag will knock the ball down. So we found a way to create a symmetrical way to change the dimple sizes, the dimple depths, the diameters, the edge angles in a symmetrical way around the ball, change certain dimples in certain areas to reduce that drag. So now when you do miss hit the ball, your spin rate drops, the golf ball will have a tendency to stay in the air, not get knocked down by the drag of the ball, and allow it to carry out further. So miss hits, it doesn't add spin to the ball, but what it does is it allows the ball to not be like driven down, almost a knuckle kind of falling out of the sky. It allows it to maintain its flight and carry further. You know, we've seen some results that have been 15 to 20 yards longer than some of the key competitors in the market today.
It's really interesting. Now, how would you differentiate between the player group aimed for the TP Black versus the TP Burner?
The TP Black is it's probably one of the highest performance balls we have, along with Red, that have the cast urethane, soft urethane cover on it. The Burner TP is a little bit thicker cover. It's a new chemistry that we developed called Iothane, and it's they're a different type of performance. With the driver, they're very similar. With the full irons, it's a little different feel and spin. And then when you get close to the green, I think the biggest difference in the balls are like a 30 or 40 yard in. There's some players that like to actually pitch the ball up in the air, have it kind of pitch up high, hit and release. And there's some that likes to kind of nip it so it checks and rolls. The TP Black will give you that little nip, check, roll, where the TP Burner TP will have a tendency to pitch a little higher and kind of hit and release a little bit on those short, really short chip shots. Burner TP is a much softer compression golf ball, 75, where the TP Black is, you know, 95. So there's a little bit of a sound and compression difference between the two. And obviously there's a price difference. The Burner TP golf ball is going to be an outstanding performance golf ball at a $25 price point. It's a ball that will be used, you know, by some tour players this year. But for people that play NXT Tour, try this golf ball. Try the Burner TP. Go head-to-head with it against NXT Tour. And I think you'd be pleasantly surprised.
Very interesting. I know a lot of people are going to be trying just that. Now, selecting a golf ball can be a really daunting task for most consumers. How would you suggest that golfers find the right one for their game?
Yeah, and again, that's a great question. The fitting side to it is changed in golf ball significantly. Here's something to think about for people. There's a lot of money spent in golf. We spend $300-$500 on drivers, $500-$1,000 on irons. Everybody's got to have new wedges. Sometimes putters are a couple hundred dollars. Even the bags, you know, everybody has to have bags. Lessons, they take lessons. They go to the range and hit a lot of drivers. All of those things try to improve the game, but nobody takes the time to go find what the best ball is for them. And if you go out and shoot 75, the ball counted on 75 shots. The driver may have counted on 14. Your 8-iron may not have even counted at all, but the ball counts on every shot you hit. So the recommendation that I have is to say, trust that distance and golf balls are there. If you look at Golf Magazine, they just did top 54 balls in the industry. They just did a distance test at 140 mile an hour ball speed, which is what an average player is today. And in the top 10 golf balls on there, the new TaylorMade balls that we have, the six new balls that we're launching this year, six out of the 10 were the ones we're launching. The TP Black and TP Red were 1 and 3, respectively. Those are golf balls that are going against two-piece distance balls out there today. So trust that the distance is there. And here's what I would recommend people to do. Spend 2 hours, that's a 9-hole test to do this, and take a sleeve of the new Burner, a sleeve of Burner TP, TP Black and TP Red. Take a sleeve of each one, so you have four balls, and go out in 9 holes and start at 100 yards on your first hole. Don't play off the tee, just go right to the 100-yard marker and hit a few shots in to the greens. Move up to 70, 50 yards around the green, chips and putts with these balls. And then when the group behind you starts to come up on you, go to the next hole and do the same thing, 100 yards and in. And somewhere in this test, you're going to find the ball feels good to me. The ball chips up higher, chips lower, pitches better, it spins back, spins too much, not enough. Somewhere, and you have to do a lot of shots with this. That's why I recommend you work your way into the green. Somewhere in that test, you'll start to weed some of the balls out. And with Burner, you have a two-piece ball. Burner TP, you have a three-piece ball that's for pretty much average players. And then you have the two tour balls, which are, you know, set for better players. And as you're running this test for 9 holes, when you walk off the 9th green, something in that test is going to say, this golf ball is the best one for me. And if you can't do that, then buy the cheapest one. You know, if your game isn't there yet today to say, hey, there are so many people out there today that play golf balls that they spend $40, and I'd love to take 20 of it and say, you know, you're going to be the same with this. But because people don't understand and they don't know. So here's an opportunity. There's a performance difference in two-piece balls right to the tour from 100 yards and in. Here's your chance to go find what that performance difference is and what you like about that. Because everybody's different. Some like firm, some like soft, some like high spin, some like low spin. So you take that time, do that test. When you walk off the green, if you found a ball that you like, now you go back to your fitting, to your driver, and you get your driver launch conditions to be about 2,500 to 2,700 spin, and you've done the proper way to find the ball for you. you're going to hit a drive off the tee of 250 yards. You're going to have your next two, three, four, five shots from 150 in. That's where the golf ball is a different performance today. That's where you should spend time to find which one fits your game. And again, if you can't figure it out and there's no, you can't tell the difference, which there'll be a lot of players will say that, then just buy the cheapest one and keep practicing and keep working on it until you are able to tell the difference.
That's really great practical advice, and it's very honest, so I know a lot of people are going to appreciate that. Before I let you go, I'm going to throw you one last little loop here I just thought of. With the USGA's proposed groove rollback, what kind of effect do you see that having on your R&D and design of golf balls?
Yeah, again, a nice loop. You guys have questions. It's interesting. It's a situation which I think will really have to be addressed with the players. The players today have taken this high launch, low spin golf ball. You know, and a lot of players say today they have trouble working the ball right to left like they used to. Yeah, they spin a lot less than they used to. So dog legs and today are not played around the corner, they're played over the trees. And if you look at it, when players played in 2000 and 2004, when to 2004, when players played wound golf balls, and they had to have driver accuracy as an importance. Back in 2000, Tiger, Vijay, Ernie, they were about 70 to 71% of driver accuracy. So here they're playing higher spinning balls, which are going to move more, and they were hitting more. In 2004, those guys were 55-56%. So the golf balls actually got straighter, but their accuracy of fairways hit got worse. That's because they're able to hit the ball further, and it's them hitting a wedge out of the rough is easier than hitting an 8-iron from the fairway, you know, for them. So the interesting question is going to come more to the tour players to say, if the groove situation changed, if what the USGA is proposing is effective and goes through, and if the spin, and these are a lot of ifs, if the spin does drastically decrease from the rough now, do you want to give up some yardage to gain spin back in a ball, or do you not? You know, and it's a question that's not answered today because of all the ifs, you know, in that comment. But we're looking at it. We're looking at ways to, you know, to work. One of the benefits that we have here at TaylorMade is our club, ball, iron, wedge, R&D sit together. So we're all together. So we do a lot of projects and interactions of fitting and players, and any testing and feedback that goes to one director goes to all the directors. So everybody gets to see that information all the time, and it allows us to work, you know, in conjunction with our iron and wedge team to be able to anticipate things and test things. So we're in that mode right now to be able to make prototypes, test, you know, follow up with the USGA and their testing and conclusions, and, you know, obviously that a lot of that information we do at the USGA is confidential between the two companies, but there are things that could be looked at in the future, and, you know, the way it goes is going to be dependent on how the outcome of the rule is.
That's really, really interesting. I know we're going to be looking to see what happens with that, with your anticipation. So I think that should do it. Gene, we really appreciate your time today. I know everybody really likes the fact that you were willing to take the time to answer all their questions about the new products, and we're all really excited to try them.
Very good. Well, I appreciate it. And send us back some feedback. We're always interested in player feedback. I do have one comment for you. For you guys. I read a lot of stuff online about, but people have questions about durability and durability of golf balls. And I think there's one note that should be made. When I mentioned earlier that Titleist, Callaway, and TaylorMade use what's called a thermoset cast urethane process, Nike, Bridgestone, and Srixon use what's called a thermoplastic urethane process. So they're very, very different in material properties, and they're very, very different in how they're made. And one of the key things to remember is urethane has a tendency to yellow. Okay, so that, you know, over time, balls will have a tendency to yellow. And what happens is that like Callaway, TaylorMade, and Titleist, we typically have to put white paint over the urethane to protect it. So when players actually hit wedges and they see a little bit of white in the groove, they think they're tearing the cover, and that's just that little, 1/1000th of an inch thick paint that's on the ball. If you see white in thermoplastic golf balls, that's the cover because they have clear coats of paint on them. You know, so from a durability point of view, the urethane side to us, some players that think that the durability is a risk or an issue because they see the white cover, and a lot of times that's only paint with urethane. You know, with new wedges coming up, new irons, golf balls are not always able to withstand, every shot that players hit. But the durability of the cast urethane golf ball is very, very good compared to looking back. It's a big change.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I had a urethane ball smiling at me like a Pilata, so.
Well, that's one of the problems with tour. A lot of balls, people would play two or three holes, and no one would ever say anything about the cover because it had a big smile on it. Urethane balls, people use them 54, 72 holes, and, they'll get them back saying, hey, this ball's kind of scuffed up. That thing looks like it's been through a battle.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for your time again. We really appreciate it, and we will be in touch soon.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Golf WRX is proud to present an interview with Dean Snell, TaylorMade Golf's Senior Director of Research and Development of Golf Balls.